Well, let me invite you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been doing a little series on the church making a difference, and we've spent a couple of weeks back in the Sermon on the Mount, Let Your Light Shine. And today, and indeed next week, all being well, I want to think of a few words here in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 17. This is God's word. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Amen. And we ask for God's blessing on this reading. You know, strange things happen. Life is full of many strange things. A few years ago, you remember this, a few years ago in County Down, not a huge distance from here, but not in this immediate area, a strange and unusual thing happened. A town fire station burned down with fire. It was a very strange thing. It was a strange thing in that a place which was meant to be a protection against fire was destroyed by fire. It was just one of those strange things in life, and I could spend more time than I have reciting lots of different strange things that happen in life. Today, in many ways, we're thinking about another strange thing, and we've been thinking about this over the last few weeks. It is a strange thing for someone to profess to be a Christian and yet not day by day live as a Christian. And so the challenge of this little series, the church making a difference. And today, as we come to this passage in Ephesians, without going into all the details, the apostle under God is really calling these Christians to be what they claim to be in a sense what they are. If they've been touched by the grace of God, Paul says, well, be what you are. Live it out. In the midst of all that's going on around you, you are called to be different. Be in practice what you are in fact. And yet this is a challenge. And I don't know if you can see those words. Let me just read them to you. They're written by Michael Griffith. Some of you will know his name, a well-known Christian from Britain. And he said this just a few years ago, and yet it's very true today. He says, "It is today a common idea that to be adult and mature, you should not be too enthusiastic about anything. The only thing worse than earnestness is fanaticism, particularly religious fanaticism. In society at large, a Christian with a sense of dedicated mission is a rare and unpopular, even slightly ridiculous figure. The trend of our times is to minimize differences. Worldly common sense dictates moderation in all things. Why be so well-mannered as to insist on being different?" And I think that's a very strong statement. It resonates in lots of different ways today and in the age in which we live, and certainly in the society in which we live across these islands in our United Kingdom. Certainly people with strong religious beliefs and feelings are less tolerated, I think, today than maybe they were in the past, and even seen as slightly dangerous, subversive people. And yet, whatever way you look at it, we can't quite escape the fact that the Christian is called to be different. By definition, we are called to be what we profess to be. And so it's a challenge for us, isn't it, that we're not to lose the sharp edge of our consecration and just become part of all that's going on around us. And so in the limited time that I have, let me just, if you've got your Bible, draw your attention to something of what Paul is saying in these verses. Basically, and again, we're not going to go into all the details, but if you look there from verse 17 right through to 24, he speaks about this new life, and he paints a couple of pictures, which I'll show you in a moment. He speaks about a new life that really has come to be the life of the Christian believer. And again, folks, this is a challenge for us. I remember reading hearing a true story of a Christian who was witnessing and sharing with someone who was not a believer. They had a very helpful conversation. But the person who wasn't convinced about the Christian faith kept saying, "But that's just your opinion. It's just really a matter of opinion." And that was his opinion. But he couldn't see, or wasn't certainly prepared to see, the biblical position, that there actually really is a profound difference between someone who genuinely is a believer and someone who is not. And again, if you have your Bible, I would just draw your attention to what the Apostle Paul says here. And he says some pretty strong, stark things. He used the phrase the Gentiles. He's literally speaking about those who as yet have not come to really believe in Jesus. He says, verse 18, they're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. They've lost all sensitivity. They're given themselves to a life of sensuality with a continual lust for more. Now, that's pretty strong stuff. And you might be tempted to say, "Well, look, I'm not prepared to accept that." And yet that says something into your own heart if that is the case. The position of the Bible is that if we are not believers, then actually our hearts are not neutral. We tend to always like to think of ourselves as being pretty moderate and neutral. But actually, if we're not for Jesus, we're actually, at a certain level, we're against him. Our hearts are hardened against that message. Our understanding is not enlightened as it could be. And our lives are actually dominated by ourselves, says the Bible. At heart, we are very self-centered people, very selfish people. And that's hard to take in, isn't it? And the pride in all of our hearts struggles and resists that. We want to say, "Well, I'm not quite as bad as that." Well, this is the diagnosis that the Scriptures brings, and this is a picture of our secular age, hardened against God's truth, darkened in its understanding as to what it really means to be a follower of Jesus, and dominated actually by self, celebrity, self-image, self-promotion, ego. And the Apostle Paul says here, look, if you're a Christian, something has happened and you are no longer to be like this. And let me just, paint a couple of thousand words, don't they? And there's two pictures. Essentially what Paul says to these Christians, and those two pictures there are really covering what he says in verses 22 right through to 24. He says, you have learned. He paints a picture of a school. He paints a picture, if you like, of someone sitting, learning, taking in new stuff, hearing new ideas. And he says here, you have learned about Jesus. You have heard about this remarkable person who lived and died and rose again. So the message goes, and you've believed it, you've accepted it, and you're learning more of what it means to follow him. And then this other very powerful picture of changing of clothes. And all of us have done this at some point this week. We've maybe stepped out of the old clothes into the new clothes. But at a spiritual level, here is a very profound and wonderful picture of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It's a picture of casting off the old self, the old set of clothes, and taking from Jesus a new set of clothes. I wonder this morning, how do those pictures resonate in your heart? Can you honestly say that you've come to the place by God's grace and you're wanting to learn more of Jesus and take in more of what it means to live for him? Have you thrown off the old clothes of a certain way of living and taken on a new set? Well, that's the new life. And Paul goes on in these verses and very practical words, and I just want to draw to your attention this morning to speak about how this is worked out. And I just want to draw your attention to some of these things, and they're very, very practical things. He mentions the whole area here in these verses of truth. Look at verse 25 if you want to follow them and look at it later. Verse 25 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And the old phrase, which I do tend to subscribe to, and sort of at a very popular level, people smile at it, and yet in many ways it can be true. You know, the country, you might say, is full of thieves and liars. And we kind of smile at that. And actually, yet at a deeper level, I think it's actually true. The country's full of thieves and liars. Is that too hard a thing to say? Honesty is not at a premium. Truth is not something that's up there. And people look for the truth, and that is good. But sometimes they maybe don't always get it. And we can all be tempted to be economical with the truth. And yet the Christian of all people is meant to be straightforwardly truthful. We could say so much. A Christian is characterized by truth. A Christian is characterized by not going down the road of being angry. Verse 26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down when you're still angry. Now, there are times and occasions when a Christian will have a righteous anger. And we have to be careful to discern when that is. Jesus himself, on one occasion, was righteously angry in the temple. But, of course, it must always be a controlled thing. If you are prone to fly off the handle or be a bad-tempered person, well, then you need, by God's grace, to ask him to help you to get that under control, because a Christian is not someone who's characterized by being filled with anger. Another thing that he mentions here, and again, there's a certain overlap to what we've already said. Verse 28, he who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his hands. There's to be an honesty not only in our speech, but an honesty in our lives. And maybe none of us would try to steal an item from the local grocery store. But have we not been maybe tempted to diddle the taxman, or to steal time from our employer? We need to be very honest people and to be known as people just of integrity, who in the midst of the temptations to cut the corners will say, well, look, I'm a Christian believer. I'm going to seek as best I can to be what I claim to be. And so we could develop that. The whole area of speech, which is really, really important. Verse 29, listen to this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what's helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And again, the next chapter, verse 4, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. The whole area of speech. Words are significant, aren't they? And our country is full of words and bad examples of words being used to cut people to ribbons, to cut the others to ribbons, to cut the other side to ribbons verbally. It's just not right, coming from a Christian. Christian people have to be different. The writer of the Proverbs says in Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Let me repeat that. That's wonderful. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The old saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me. A load of rubbish. Rubbish. How many people have been absolutely cut to the heart and traumatized by words? Never got over it. So the whole area of speech is really, really important. Let me ask you this morning, do our words build people up or pull people down? It's so easy to grieve the Holy Spirit. The whole area of attitude, and again, I'm having to fly through these very, very quickly. Look at what Paul says in verse 31. There's a sermon here in itself. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. The whole area of our attitudes. Brother and sister in Christ, can I ask you this morning, and I challenge you as I challenge my own heart, what is our attitude in these things? Are we people who are characterized by these good things, by kindness and a sense of a forgiving spirit? So easy to go down another road of saying, well, I'll never forgive him to the day I die. Folks, that grieves my heart when I hear that kind of stuff. Every day we say the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So we have to be very careful about these things, don't we? The whole area of attitudes. And again, don't even have time to mention this, but the little vision for society, I just want to again mention it to you, the Presbyterian Church vision for society. 146 words, very carefully, prayerfully chosen. Wonderful words in my opinion. Where it says, we members of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland believe that the good news of Jesus Christ challenges and equips us to develop radically new attitudes and relationships with our neighbours throughout this whole country. Sometimes we say, well, that's just words. We ignore it. Then there's a whole area here of purity. In a society full of sexual immorality and sexual innuendo, these Ephesians were called to be different. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity, because these are improper for God's holy people. Folks, there's so much here, isn't there? So much. And it's a challenge. And I say to you, brother and sister in Christ, let's look at your heart as I look at mine, and then allow these things to be reflected day by day. If you profess to be a believer, let it be seen in the whole area of truth and anger and honesty and speech and attitude and purity. Let's be what we claim to be. And again, I don't even have time. I was just drawing that to your attention. I've mentioned that before. Mark Green's excellent book, Fruitfulness on the Front Line, Making a Difference Where You Are. Modeling godly character, making good work, ministering grace and love, molding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, being a messenger of the gospel. Excellent stuff. But let me go on just before I finish, because there's something that I do need to say here, which at this point, someone could be forgiven for thinking, well, that's a nice wee message. It's basically saying, well, let's pull your socks up, try better. That would be a profound misunderstanding of what I am seeking to do, because it's significant in this whole passage in the context of Ephesians, which is a passage about how we have been saved by grace to do good works. This is not morality that I am preaching. This is not religion that I am preaching. Religion is also all about do this and do that and try your best and all the rest of it. That's actually absolutely the opposite of what I am preaching. I am seeking by God's grace to preach the gospel, which is not about what we do, but it's about what God has done in Jesus Christ. And hence the picture of the cross, hence the picture of the amazing grace of God, which is able to break the chains of our dishonesty and our anger and our reckless use of language and our impurity and all of these things. The grace of God is able to break those things and to begin to change us as we put off the old clothes and take on the new clothes of Jesus, as we sit, if you like, in the school of Christ and we hear what he says to us. And so, this morning, Drew may be willing to preach a wee sermon, but I'm almost finished. Listen to this. Have you got the grace of God in your heart? Have you been to Jesus for that fresh cleansing? Have you repented and believed the gospel? This is where it begins, folks. This is absolutely where it begins. And so today, I call you to the cross. I say, come to that fount of blessing. Come to that place. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you will begin this journey of a new life, a new way of living, a new lifestyle. I say to you today as I finish, if you're a believer, be what you are. Live it out. And if you're not yet a Christian believer, come to Jesus. Trust him. Not religion. Trust him and believe him for salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would come by your Spirit. We pray that you would apply your word to our hearts. We pray that you would help us to be what we claim to be, that people might know that we have been with Jesus. And we ask this prayer in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing this closing hymn, lovely hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Tune my heart to sing. thy grace. We're singing verses 1, 3, and 4. Verses 1, 3, and 4.